And to think I used to have a fear of public speaking. The first time I ever spoke in front of a group, 300 people, I fainted dead away. Do you know how embarrassing that is? When you finally come to and collect your senses. And you're bright red. So I want to start by a quote by Henri Matisse. And that quote is, "He who loves flies, runs, and rejoices. He is free and nothing holds him back." Nothing holds him back. How many people want to love, fly, run, and rejoice?
Yeah, sure.
How many of you want more joy in your life? More fulfillment in your life? Cool. Then you're in the right place, because getting aligned with your passions is what this is all about. Why do you think passion is important? What is your life like when you're passionate about something?
Exciting.
Joyous.
Right.
What about personal destiny? Does everybody have one?
Absolutely.
Yes. Personal destiny, I think, is the reason that you were put on the planet. And your passions are clues to that destiny. It's what you like. It's what you love. And so it's what you're going to do best as you move forward in this process. So how did I come to this very quickly? I actually created a course for juniors and seniors in high school, kids in college, kids who are drifting, to teach them life skills with a little bit of business. And the purpose behind it is that they would come with their passion. Because if they're passionate about something, just as if you are passionate about something, you're more inclined to want to do it. And with kids, their attention span is a little probably less focused than ours. So I wanted them to come with their passion and then teach them life skills. So cash flow becomes about balancing their checkbook and managing their credit, and marketing becomes about marketing themselves as well as whatever their business is. And it was important to me to have a way to help them uncover what those passions are. And actually, just as an aside, we have a program called Passion Test for Kids and Teens. And we actually, on a radio show, walked this young lady through the passion test. And her number one passion was to sleep. Interesting, huh? And when you dig into that, you come to find out that she's an honors student, she's in sports, she has all these friends, you know, she does all these activities, and the girl is exhausted. She's exhausted. So what was interesting about that is that the parents had no idea about that and then decided to make decisions differently for their daughter based on that, which I thought was really interesting. And that's what this is all about, is making decisions, choosing in favor of what you're passionate about. And so the whole purpose behind this is for you to be you. Nobody else does you better than anybody else. Right? There's no one other like you in the planet. And I do believe that we all have skills and talents that are uniquely our own. And it is our responsibility, I'll say duty, but that may be too officious. It is our responsibility to uncover what those are and actually bring them into the world. You are on the planet right now at this point in time because Spirit has something for you to do. And so today, hopefully, we'll uncover some of what that is. And it's a process. It's a process. This is a test. This is a test. It's a test of the spiritual broadcast system. This is a test that you cannot fail. This is all about you. And so when you get to the point where we do the test, I don't want you to think about obligations or responsibilities or my spouse won't like this or my kids come first or whatever all those considerations are, and we have them. I want you to throw those out the window, okay? Because that's not what this is about. No one can give to the world the gifts that each of you have. And there is so much power here in this room. Right now. And I would offer that we could bring it even greater in ways that we haven't thought about yet. And so a little bit about the passion test. I don't know if we want to try. We might try to see if we can watch this, but you know, so far my my skills at this have really not helped. So let's see if we can do this. So I have a new Mac Air.
Yay.
Well, I have a Mac Pro, right? That weighs, you know, 5 times more than this. And I'll focus this just a minute. But here's the problem with it. This, for some reason, worked last night and is not working today, so you get the drift. Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. Go back. Come on, I know you can do it. Oh, where am I going here? I'm trying to get over there. Not that one. This one. Isn't it cute, though?
Very cute.
This is a little bit about Janet Atwood, who created this. And I think what this movie demonstrates, and I don't know if you want to turn the recording off for this, but what this movie demonstrates is the power of your intention, the power of being in a point in your life where things, I would use a word that I probably shouldn't use on tape, where things aren't the best that they could be, and how you can actually bring it together in a way that is just magical. So let me see if this will play. Hold on just a minute. Oh, it would help if we had sound, wouldn't it?
Yeah, she's right. GPS. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, if I can get out of here, you know, and like thinking this is so not okay. Raise both hands, right? Yeah, anyone not? Almost, right? So I'm in
about being in the job that you hate.
Actually, before I take the job that I'm so bad at, I'm in a job that I was good at. I was actually teaching meditation. I love spirituality. I've been meditating many, many years, many, 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 many years. And I won't say how many years because that will really be, I'm just having my 35th birthday next month. Okay, so anyway, I was teaching meditation, a local meditation. I loved it. It was fun. It was really, really wonderful to hang out with spiritual people. There was one downside. Every day, I'd run across the street. I'd jump over a fence. I'd sneak into the local apartment pool. You know, they have the little shower at the local apartment for their pool shower, and I would take my shower because there was no shower or bathtub at the meditation center. And I also slept on the floor. So every day I'd sneak over, jump over the fence, run into this pool shower, take my shower, run back, and be enlightened, right, of course, and give my enlightened lectures. Now, my friends heard this, that we're working in Silicon Valley, very close to where the meditation center was, and they said, we can do better than this for Janet Atwood. And they were coming to my lectures in their Jaguars, Porsches, Mercedes, right? I was going to their house for dinner, you know, my one meal a week. No, just kidding. And, you know, their beautiful houses up in the mountains. And they said, Janet, we've got a job. We've got one job open in our 13-people office. And you can make millions of dollars recruiting engineers. And what do you think I heard? Millions of dollars, right? Yeah, ching, 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 ching. You can see these dollar bill signs in my eyes. You know, they're like bong, 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 right? And I was thinking of all the things that I needed to buy, because I did. I liked my, I had one red dress. I swear, they saw this one red dress a lot. I had one red dress, and I don't remember clothes very often, but this one red dress, because it was starting to, like, wear me. And I was thinking, okay, let's see, dresses, car, house, you know, I was checking it off in my mind. And they said, you'll be so good at this. You're like enthusiastic, you love people, you're excited, you know, you just have fun, you'll connect with them, this will be great, we know you're going to burn it up. And I'm thinking, I know I'm going to burn it up too. I'm so connectable, you know, and I'm such a nice person. Anyway, they had this bell every day that they ring, and they would run to the front of the class, or office, they would run to the front of the office, and they would ring this bell every time they got a job for an engineer. And this bell, bong, 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 all day long, all day long, for everyone, for a whole month straight while I was there. But guess who? Moi. Everyone. And they were making so much money, and I was making nothing. And I was sitting there, and after a while, you know that feeling when people expect you to be a certain way, and you expect you to be a certain way, and you're a certain way, right? And you walk in, and I started walking into work like this, you know, and they started walking into work like this, and they didn't look at, and they'd be over having lunch together, not talking to me, because everybody was just contracted around this, including me. And I was thinking, I've got to do better than this. This is so not okay. And every night after work, I would go to the local meditation center. I would meditate. And I started really, really thinking, okay, this is so awful. This is so awful. I've got to change this. What am I going to do? And so I'm meditating one night. I close my eyes. I come out of meditation after really, I just had the deepest, most beautiful experience. Open my eyes, look on the wall. And I see the sign on the wall. And it says, Yes to Success Seminar. Seminar in San Francisco. And I think, okay, that's it. That's my sign. I've got to do this. I've got to go to San Francisco. I've got to go and take this seminar. Because I need something. And any of you ever lie to not be at work? Be at work. Anyone here? Come on, all of you liars. Okay. All of you liars who aren't lying. Okay, so anyway, so I call in sick, and I am like, and I just like, I do this whole really fake, awful, sick thing, you know, little Miss Janet actress, and I'm so happy because I hang up, they bought it, and I drive to San Francisco, and I sit down in the front row, just like all of you, of the seminar. And this woman walks in, and she is like this. You know that feeling? And she is like, yay! And she's talking about all of these great things that are really important. And the most important one was being in your integrity and doing what you care most about and really owning it and having that courage. And as she's talking, I'm like about 6 feet off the chair because I have this huge aha that I want to do what she's doing. I'm like, oh my God, I found it. This is the gift. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And as she's talking, and her name, by the way, is Deborah, who? Yeah, so she's talking, and I am like so excited, and I'm thinking, oh God, I've got to ask her if I can be her student, if she'll let me come to work for her, if I can somehow, be around her energy so I can do what she's doing. And so I'm waiting the whole seminar. The whole seminar, I'm waiting for that moment. You know that moment? You know it's that moment is so important, isn't it? That right moment. And it's not coming, it's not coming. And it was actually, by the way, sidebar, in that seminar, when she was talking about a survey that talked about the 100 most successful people in the United States. And in the survey, what they found was that all of them were living what they considered to be their top five passions. So there was, and that was when I actually got the passion test in that moment. But the most important thing, other than the fact that that was the birth of that thought, was I wanted to be like her. So I'm waiting for that perfect time at the seminar to go up to her and see somehow how can I be with this woman. And finally, at the end of the seminar, she goes, can anyone take me to the airport? Yeah! You know, and she's just like, doctor? You know? And I said, I will. And she goes, okay, all right, you know? And so I take her to the airport, and I'm waiting for her to, you know, have that moment. And finally, Deborah turns to me, and she says, so, and you know how beautiful she is, right? So, what is your dream? You know, what is it? And I said, and here's Janet Atwood's answer. I am so glad you asked me because if you don't hire me, you better move over because I'm going to be your next competition. And she looks at me, and they call her queen. I swear, it all happened at once. La 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 la. You know, that moment where you want to just like, oh, please put out of mouth. Anyway, she looks at me, and she gives me a hug. They call her plain, and she walks away. And I am standing there with the foot in my mouth so big time and thinking, yeah, oh my God is right. You know, like, did I do that? But here was the thing. I was so clear about what I wanted to do, right, about being with her and learning this and doing this, that I thought it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. You know what? You know how you do that?
You just screwed up your whole life, but it's okay. Anyway, so I'm, you know, no problem, Delta. No, just kidding.
Okay, so anyway, so I'm driving that night back to the meditation center, and I think, no, no, no. I am so clear. I know that this is really important. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. I know, and I'm having this whole conversation with myself. I'm going to follow her all over the United States. That's what I'm going to do. She's on her, serious, and she's on her national tour. She's going to Boston, Washington, D.C. She's going to Iowa. She's going to Los Angeles. She's going to all these places. And I'm going to somehow, even though I am, like, so broke, somehow I'm going to get all the money I need. I'm going to buy these plane tickets. I'm going to sit down in the front row. And somehow she's going to have to hire me. And I'm going to keep following her, stalking her until she does, right? And so anyway, that night when I get back to the meditation center, I'm meditating. I come out of meditation. My friend's there. And she looks at me and she goes, so what's new? I go, what's new? What's new? You know, and I do this like, God, my drama thing. What's new? I said, everything's new. My whole life is new. I know what I'm going to do. I found this woman. I'm going to follow her. I don't know how I'm going to follow her because I'm minus money. But I know I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And then I told her my story. I said, this is my plan. And she, you know, she goes, oh, yeah, you know, we, okay, night, bye. Okay, and then Deborah, I'm driving to work the next day, and Deborah said a lot of things. One of the things she said, get rid of all the old. So that night when I got back, and I don't think I've told you this, anybody ever this before, but that night when I go back to my house, get rid of anything that you don't want to make for new. So I was living with this roommate named Nancy. Nancy got almost every clothing I had, right? I just took them all in the front room, put them in a pile. There, Deborah said, get rid of the old so you can have the new, right? I think I had 3 outfits left. That don't do. Okay, so anyway. So I drive to work the next day. Remembering Deborah said, burn your bridges. So I'm thinking, like, okay, big bridge that's in the way. You know, whatever's in the way is you live in your past and burn it. So I'm thinking, okay, what's in the way is this job. So I go to the work, walk into the office, and I go, Ted, my manager, Ted, you know, I know, it's not working. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, let's see, if I have my 2 weeks' worth of pay, and I give my notice, then I'll have that, and they'll kind of see me through, and then I can figure out the plan. And so I go, so Ted, I'm going to give my 2 weeks' notice today. And Ted goes, well, you know, we found that those 2 weeks are kind of wasted. You know, even though you're here, you're not really here. So we're going to give you a going-away cake today. And this will be your last day.
Wow.
Bridges burned. So big time. So I'm driving back that night to the meditation center with my knee, like going, right? And I get to the meditation center, and I'm meditating, trying to, and all of a sudden, all of this paper is falling on my head, seriously. And I'm like, what the? And I open my eyes, and my friend that I told my dream to the night before is dropping $100 bills all over my head, a lot of $100 bills. And she said, Merry Christmas, Janet Atwood. Go live your dream. Do you love this story, huh?
Wow.
Now, wait. Now, wait, before you clap because it gets better, do you want to hear what happened with that money? Do you think I took her money? What? You're right, I did. I took her money, and I bought my plane tickets, right? Did Deborah tell this story yesterday? Because I'm going to shoot her if she did. Okay, so I took the money. I bought my plane tickets, and I fly to Boston. And I sit down in the front row, and Deborah walks in. You know Deborah, right? And she's so beautiful. She walks in, she scans the room, and she goes, hi, you're in Deborah's. Hi, nice, cool, you know, this is me. You know, don't say a word. I swear, did not say a word last morning to anybody that whole day. And then she flies to Washington, D.C. I fly to Washington, D.C. I walk in on the front row. She comes in, she's scanning the room, she's like, what the heck? You know what I mean? And then, and trying to get it, and then she goes to Iowa. This time she walks in, and she picks it up, right? She goes, I'm like, shocker, right? No, again, she's doing it again. And then finally, L.A. She walks in, she looks at me, and she goes, all right already, you're hired. You love that story?
Mm-hmm.
Deborah Poneman and Janet are actually very good friends now.
Is that with the projector?
Yeah, thanks. So.
Oh.
Gail, there's a paper over here. You don't get to sit in the back.
I'm joining.
You get to stand up in front of all of us now and walk around the room.
Turn the
recorders on.
They're already on.
Yeah. So, you know what I love about that story is that, you know, actually Janet is a big transcendental meditation person. But it's just how things unfolded. Yeah. She didn't know how it was going to happen. She just knew that that is exactly what she wanted to have happen. Wasn't her job to figure out how. It's just her job to know the why, you know, the what. And I think that's such a great story to illustrate the principles that we talk about all of the time, you know, all the time. Science of Mind principles. So there was a Harris Interactive study that was done, and I apologize because I'm referring to my notes. Normally I would have the PowerPoint up here, but the PowerPoint isn't working, so it usually cues me as to what's coming next, but so I'll have to do it with my notes. There was a Harris Interactive study that basically said that only 20% of Americans are happy in their jobs. Sad, isn't it? That means 80% of the workforce is unhappy. Wow. Can you imagine if you could change that percentage, even just 5%, what a difference it would make in the world or in that corporation or that place where people are working? It is sad. And part of that, I think, comes because people find themselves in positions that they're not really suited for. It doesn't enliven them. It doesn't make best use of their skills and talents. It sort of just, you know, saps their energy and, you know, leaves you on the floor in a heap. And that's not what we want. So the passion test is a very powerful way to clarify what's important to you in your life. What's important to you in your life? T. Harv Eker, I don't know if many of you have heard of him, but T. Harv Eker says, clarity is power, and that power is the ability to create the life you choose to live. So today we're going to begin the process of gaining clarity, and it will be fun. You will have fun. You will have fun. The Bhagavad Gita says, curving back on myself, I create again and again. Curving back on myself, I create again and again. And how do we do that? How do we create? We create by thinking. That creation comes from our thoughts. And so is what we are thinking positive? Is it uplifting? Is it enlivening? Or is it defeating? Because the more that we can choose to be positive, the more that we can choose to focus on what's important to us, on what our passions are, the more that enthusiastic that we are, the greater the attitude, the good attitude that we have, the more opportunities will come to us. Opportunities will flow to us, and we will flow to opportunities. So one of the reasons why I love this is because people don't really spend much time thinking about what's important to them. What matters to them in life? What's their destiny? You know, what do they want to leave as a legacy to the world? Because every breath that we take contributes to that legacy. Every single breath. So what legacy do we want to create? So I'm working on that now, actually. I'll tell you a little bit. So I told you about this course that I'm doing, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to teach it over the course of a year in schools. Well, you know, that's okay. That's, you know, a couple hours a week, and certainly not going to pay my bills doing that, probably. So what I've decided to do, and I'm very jazzed about it, is I'm going to turn it into a teleseminar webinar series. And actually, it's equally as applicable to adults as it is to kids, but turn it into a teleseminar webinar series and a book and a workbook. And then I want to drive kids to live events in the summer using dormitories that are vacant at colleges and universities. So it's sort of like a little summer camp where it all comes together and they have to present their mini business plan. So they get public speaking skills, they get to work in groups, so they're taught collaboration and cooperation. And if they want to be a rock star, I have to go find a rock star for them to present to, or whatever it is, you know. So yeah, so I'm very jazzed about that. My past 2 years, as many of you know, have not been the best. My father died, my son died, my mother-in-law just died, all sorts of stuff. And this is, I think, what has come out of all that trauma and tragedy, which, you know, we can talk about, and if anybody ever goes through those things, I am a wealth of experience. But out of all of that came this. And I don't think I would have gotten to this place had I not started down the path of really finding out what's important to me and what my passions are and where I want to go in life. And it's scary because, as many of you know, I used to be in the government, had a cushy little job. And I've basically given all of that up and bet on the come to make this work. So that's where I am today. So as you saw, Janet was at a T. Harv Eker conference, actually, and the same conference that Jack Canfield was at. And you all know Jack Canfield, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got Janet's personality. Mm-hmm. So she's a redhead. And she is as she is. I mean, that is how she acts. Not that I'm not dissing any redheads in the room. So she wanted to take Jack through the passion test, right? So she calls him up and she says, Jack, I want to take you through the passion test. And he says, well, Jenny, that's okay, except that I have to catch a plane and I'm leaving for the airport. And she says, well, that's okay, I'll ride in the cab with you. And so you get her. And he said, okay. So she does. She gets in the cab, and on the way to the airport, she runs him through this passion test. Well, come to find out that there were passions that he uncovered during that process that he wasn't, at the time, devoting any time to. He wasn't living at all. And he thought it was so interesting. And so one of them was he wanted to form a transformational spiritual council. And he has since done that. But I'm just going to read you some of his passions, because I'm going to ask you to do this in a minute. So I want to give you some ideas of some things to be thinking about. And we'll go through this a little more in depth. But here is Jack's list. Being of service to massive numbers of people, having an international impact, enjoying celebrity status, being part of a dynamic team, having a leadership role, helping people live their vision, speaking to large groups, having an impact through television, being a multimillionaire, having world-class quarters and a support team, having lots of free time to be, studying with spiritual masters regularly, being part of a spiritual leaders network, creating a core group of ongoing trainers who feel identified with my organization, and having fun, fun, fun. So, you know, if it was useful for Jack, my thought was, and, you know, it should be somewhat useful for me, right? Or for you. So, and some other people have identified living in a beautiful home, writing successful mystery novels, working in a nurturing environment with lots of plants and light, enjoying perfect health with lots of energy, stamina, and vitality, having fun with everything I do, spending lots of quality time with my family, enjoying great sex on a regular basis, working with a supportive team who share my values. So those are some, and yours are going to be different. We'll walk through what categories most of them fall into, but yours are going to be uniquely you. So while it's fine to read these, and if I had my PowerPoint presentation working, they'd be up on the board, you're going to come up with your own list of what's important to you. And it's going to be fun. And it's okay to borrow. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. Anybody have any questions so far?
Who was the woman that Janet was referring to?
Deborah Poneman. Deborah Poneman does a course, a seminar called Yes to Success. And she and Janet are now friends. Actually, she and Janet and I are friends. And she had started out long before Janet did, and actually got out of the business for a while to raise her children and has recently come back into the business. She was here in Washington, I want to say like this past summer. She is a beautiful soul. She's very kind, very sweet. One of the things that I like about both of those women is that there's a kindness and compassion to them that you don't experience very often. In order to actually give this course, you have to be certified. And when you go to the certification training, which is actually, I have to tell you, one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life. It was 3 days, now it's four. It is the most positive, uplifting spiritual experience. There's no negativity. It's all being constructive. It's all to help you understand the process and be successful and all those kinds of things. It was really just an amazing 3 days. And I will tell you that there were two people in the course of that who physically changed in the weekend. You could just see all of the tension and the way they held themselves all the time. You know, they weren't really open. And you could just see all of that melt, and their faces became radiant. They just lit up. They got comfortable. They relaxed. I mean, it was a physical transformation. I've never seen anything like it. So it was cool. Okay, on your papers in front of you, I think, does everyone have one? So I don't know. Let's see. We'll continue on for a little bit. We'll take a break in a bit. If you do need to take a break, though, you are certainly welcome to do that. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to make a list of 10 things that you love. But before we do that, we're going to talk about some of the areas that... I'm going to move this up somehow.
You see it?
Oh, my gosh. I did it. Oh, wow, this stuff looks great. Thank you all for bringing it. So we're going to talk about, you know, what categories do your passions or what you love fall into. So what do you think some would be? What are you passionate about? What do you want in your life? What areas of your life do you...
Physical things.
Physical.
Bodily.
Yeah. What else?
Emotional.
Financial.
What else?
Spiritual.
Yes.
Social.
Self-expression.
Self-expression.
Health. How about environment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like your home and your office. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else? The big one missing.
Family.
Relationships,
yeah.
Relationships.
anything else?
How about government? Governmental privity.
Whatever. Good.
Success.
Success. Okay.
How about meaningful work?
Meaningful work. What you come to find out is that these will change over time. They're not static. They recommend that you actually take this test about every 6 months. So when I first started doing this, I was in the process of selling my house. And so my number one passion was that I wanted to live in a home that was beautiful and surrounded by nature and all these kinds of things. So, you know, it depends on the circumstances that you find yourself in and what's important to you at the time. And that's what the beauty of it is to identify what's really important to you right now. Okay? So what I want you to do is on the first page, there are 10 lines. Let me get a copy so I can read it. It says, list 10 things which will make your life and your work ideal. With these accomplished, you will feel fulfilled and complete. Complete the sentence. When my life is ideal, I am what? Now, no run-on sentences, okay? My life is ideal, I'm happy in love, and I have a gazillion dollars, and my dog is you know, healthy, whatever. I mean, no run-on sentences. So a complete thought per sentence. When my life is ideal, I live in a home that is beautiful and surrounded by nature. Or when my life is ideal, I whatever. Okay? So no run-on sentences, and make them positive. So you don't want to say, when my life is ideal, I'm out of debt. You want to say, when my life is ideal, I'm financially free. Okay? So, we talk this way anyway in this philosophy. So you want to make them positive statements. So if you are tending towards the negative, that's okay, because sometimes that's what we're focused on. But what I want you to do is to flip it around and make it a positive statement for yourself. Okay? So when my life is ideal, I am. Okay? So just take a few minutes and do that. If you have any questions, I might even put some music on.
Watching.